Well, hello there. You have found what matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver, and I'm really excited. Just seems like every day brings something new to be excited about. And I don't know if your life is that way, but sometimes my wife tells me I get a little silly because I do get excited over things that most people or other people might just look at and go, eh. But I'm excited because we have got some amazing guests for you to share with us today. And in this podcast episode, we're going to talk to North Carolina State Representative Holly Grange. Now, she is a rookie. This is her first term. And yet she speaks with the confidence of someone who's been doing this a very long time. And so we've had her on the show before. She was an excellent guest, and I'm sure she will be today as well. In fact, and folks, let me tell you this. I work in the General Assembly. I've been involved with them for quite some time. And you just don't see first-term members of the House or Senate in leadership positions. But Representative Grange was elected by her colleagues to be the deputy conference leader of the House Republican Caucus. Now, I used to write for an editor who used to tell me, Mark, nobody knows what caucus means. So for those of you that might be scratching your head, caucus just basically means members of the same party. So you have a House Republican caucus, which is comprised of the House Republicans, and then you also have a Democrat caucus, which is comprised of the Democrats. They have a Senate caucus and a House caucus. And so in the House, amongst her Republican colleagues, Representative Holly Grange has been elected deputy conference leader. So what that means is she will work with the conference leader and others to help her colleagues. You see a lot of this, particularly when they are up for reelection. And so not only will she be attending to her own tasks, but she will be helping her colleagues as well. So this is kind of a big deal. And we'll be talking with her about that. And how does she feel? Is it a little overwhelming? Probably not. She went to West Point, a 15-year Army veteran. So I think she's good to go as far as leadership and attending to the various tasks that will be before her. So Representative Holly Grange coming up in just a moment. In other episodes, if you yesterday missed What Matters in North Carolina, we had David Horowitz on. And wow, this guy's like a living legend because his life started out leading him on a path to be very sympathetic to the militant left and communism. And he was actually part of the Black Panther Party and basically was, you know, if you grew up at all during the 60s and 70s, you know how things were during that time period. You know, we talk about protesting today, but if you're old enough to remember, there was a lot of that going on back in the 60s and 70s, particularly over the Vietnam War. Well, Horowitz was right in the middle of all that as a militant leftist, and he became a disenchanted militant leftist, and during the Reagan years, actually became a conservative. And so for the last 30 years, he's been a leading conservative voice, and now he basically takes his opportunities, whether it's writing or speaking, to show the fallacy of a lot of the ideology of the militant left. And who better? Because he was there. He helped formulate it back in the day. So if you missed our excellent conversation with David Horowitz, you can certainly go to freedomactionnetwork.com and find it there, or in the iTunes and Google Play stores as well. Interesting guy, and kind of cool to talk to somebody who's been a leader of both sides of the political spectrum, the left and the right. So David Horowitz for you here on What Matters in North Carolina. Well, the General Assembly kicks off tomorrow, and we have the opportunity now to talk with Representative Holly Grange. She will be busy, she will be active, and she is our guest now on What Matters in North Carolina. Joining us now here on What Matters in North Carolina, a good friend of the show. We've had Representative Holly Grange on before. She did a fabulous job, and so We're excited, Representative Grange, to have you on again. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It was before the holidays that we talked, so I trust you had a nice holiday season and your new year is getting off to a good start.
It was a great holiday season, and my goal is to hit the ground running tomorrow when we show up for the long session.
Now, you represent District 20 in New Hanover County, and before we get started about specific General Assembly things, I spoke with the folks at the Wilmington International Airport down there, which is in your neck of the woods. And I wasn't aware of this, but they had a record-setting year, and the development and growth of that airport and the surrounding area is just really fantastic. Have you noticed? I mean, is it noticeable being a resident down there? It is. Things are booming.
I'm excited about all that they have going on. Full disclosure, the director of the airport in Wilmington is a woman named Julie Wilsey, and she is a West Point graduate like I am.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So we're good friends, and she's really had some great things going. Most importantly, with the airport, not only is the increased traffic and usership of the airport is the fact that they have a foreign trade zone designation now.
Oh, that's great.
Well, so they will have facilities available for businesses to use as in that foreign trade zone, which will help them expand their businesses and lower their business costs with imports and exports.
Yeah, I had Julie on as a guest a couple of weeks ago. She was fabulous, and I guess shame on me, but living here in the Raleigh area, I think about the airport in Raleigh and in Charlotte, but I really had no idea that things were exploding in your neck of the woods. So I think that's fabulous.
Yes, we're excited about it.
So you are, I guess, getting your feet wet in this whole representing the people in the North Carolina House thing, and yet you have already been elected to a leadership position, deputy conference leader. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited about that.
Now, tell us, for our listeners that aren't familiar with, the inner workings of how these things progress, what exactly will you be doing as the deputy conference leader?
Well, the conference is set up to support the Republican candidates. It's another term is the Republican caucus. So we're actually, we assist the candidates, the members of the caucus with fundraising, with organizational help to when it comes to the point that we have to get them reelected for their next term.
So you'll be not only concentrating on the responsibilities you have to your own constituents, but helping your colleagues as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that a little overwhelming, being your first time?
Well, I like to be busy. My friends know that. My friends who know me well know I like to stay busy. But I think it's something even as a freshman, I'm really excited about hitting the ground running with that role. They have their confidence in me to elect me to that position.
Absolutely. Well, Speaker Tim Moore is quoted as saying it's no surprise that you were elected to House leadership by your colleagues, even though it's your first term. He said that you've made an immediate impression on her House caucus as a leader determined to make a positive impact for her constituents. So that's high praise coming from the Speaker of the House.
Well, I thank him for those kind words.
Now, Representative Grange, things get kicked off in earnest tomorrow. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, the legislative session convened with the swearing in and all of the ceremony that goes along with that. You're getting down to business tomorrow. What are some of the things on your mind that you would like to see accomplished?
Well, I'm, of course, most interested in what happens in my part of the state, southeastern North Carolina being a growing part of the state. So my focus is really on starting with transportation infrastructure issues in Wilmington. I think we need to continue to support our port. As you probably know, I had the good fortune to serve on the North Carolina Ports Authority Board. Mm-hmm. And I do know how hard they are working and how successful they have been in recent years in expanding their business and really making the Port of Wilmington a force to be reckoned with along the East Coast. Again, you know, the airport is important to me, and other, you know, local transportation issues that have to do with the congestion that will come with our increased population over the next few years.
That sounds certainly like something that does need attention, because as we opened up our time together, the area is really, really growing and growing quickly. In terms of infrastructure, what do you see as some of the specific needs in the New Hanover County area?
Well, it's important that businesses be able to get their goods in and out of Wilmington quickly. So we do have some rail initiatives that will help assist the port and will help our local businesses. We have transportation issues locally, you know, with just major intersections in Wilmington, because they get very congested. The northern part of the county, of New Hanover County, is expanding rather quickly, and there's a lot of road congestion. And there are projects in the works that DOT has on the books to alleviate some of that. I just want to make sure that that those don't get diverted, those projects get diverted to other areas. And also, one of the other things that will help with our business development is the further, we have a corridor, Port 21 corridor, that will, thanks to the Connect NC bond, will be able to apply for water and sewer along that corridor, so we can expand some of our businesses along that route. So those are the most important to me. Of course, you know, I'm always interested in further increasing teacher pay and money for our educational system in New Hanover County, and as well as our natural resources, our beaches, beach renourishment, inlet dredging. Issues like that are very important to me down in my part of the state.
Well, Representative Grange, that sounds like a full plate.
It does, and you know I'm the newbie on board, so I don't know how much I'm going to be able to accomplish, but I'm usually pretty good at getting, you know, being heard. So I will focus on that and working with other members of the delegation down in my part of the state to move our agenda forward.
Well, with the confidence that Speaker Moore has in your leadership ability, I have no doubt that we will see your name on quite a few pieces of legislation that get signed into law. So I don't
think
there'll
be a
problem
there. Well, I hope so. Thank you.
Hey, one of the things that I'm interested in, and I see that it is a goal that you talked about in an interview with Star News Online. I'm looking at some of the things that they asked you about, goals that you have for this session. And one of the things that you named, we've talked about a lot on What Matters in North Carolina, and that is this growing heroin epidemic in our state. And we had Dr. Randall Williams on the program, and he was talking about how rampant it is. And we've talked with some county sheriffs. In fact, the Nash County Sheriff told me, Representative Grange, that they have people dying on a monthly and sometimes weekly basis from heroin overdose. I mean, it really is disconcerting.
It's horrible, and we have the same problem in Wilmington. Wilmington Route 17 is known in by a lot of law enforcement as the heroin highway. We have people every week that have to be revived by first responders for heroin overdose. And along with the heroin issue, you have the crime that goes along with it. In most cases, violent crime, the gang activity, because drug drug business, you know, goes hand in hand with that violence that gangs often, you know, perpetuate. So it is a big thing, and we have a task force in Wilmington that is working very hard. A task force consisting of the health professionals, law enforcement, mental health professionals. We've actually had conferences with people from other parts of the country with organizations that have dealt with those issues to help us come up with different options that hopefully we can put into place in North Carolina, at least in the Wilmington area, and spread throughout the state to start taking care of this problem, because it is a problem that does not discriminate. It's a problem that affects all socioeconomic groups. It's does not discriminate.
Absolutely, it does not. One of the things that I learned in researching this problem and talking with people on the program here is that, you know, let me say this first. Heroin, when I was growing up, was, you know, the big drug. And you saw television shows with people who were addicted to heroin, and these crime police shows often had, you know, heroin at the center of a lot of problems. Now, this was back in the, I would say, in the 70s and early 80s. Over the last several years or a couple of decades, as far as from where I sit, cocaine and crack had sort of replaced heroin as, you know, the most popular abused drug that we see about displayed on television and in movies. But what's happening, and I'm sure you know this, is that people who may have a medical procedure, a surgery, and they begin to take legal pain medicine that have, you know, a narcotic effect like Vicodin or Percocet or OxyContin, those kind of things, when they run out of those medications, they find themselves having gotten addicted, and they turn to heroin. So it's not, you know, the guy or the gal, you know, sleeping on a street corner that's, you know, strung out. It used to be the word we used back in the day. But oftentimes it's, you know, regular folks who have found themselves addicted to pain medication, and they're turning to heroin.
That's exactly right. In recent years, actually, I think since the late 80s, pain management has become a big issue, and there has been an overprescription of opiates. And to buy a pill on the street, it's cheaper just to buy a bundle of heroin.
Wow.
And unfortunately, the heroin on the street nowadays is laced with other chemicals, in some cases fentanyl, which makes it much more potent and much more addictive. And it's a vicious cycle that people get in. And in many cases, it does. It starts with the overprescription of opiates.
Now, I guess this is a good thing, because I've talked to a couple of friends of mine who are, you know, just average folks, go to work every day. And both of them told me that getting heroin on the street is very easy. And Representative Grange, you could give me $10 million right now, and I would have no idea where to go to buy heroin. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. But I will say, in Wilmington, I had the benefit of having to spend a year on the grand jury, one of the grand juries in Wilmington. And I will say that 95% of the indictments were related to, in most cases, heroin, definitely drug use, but most cases heroin, dealing, using, importing. You know, the drug trade is alive and well.
Wow. Well, you know what? You mentioned in this interview that the General Assembly did some things last session which were positive in this regard. They passed the law which allows a standing prescription signed by the medical director for anyone to go and purchase, I think it's naloxone.
Naloxone. It comes under several names, but one of which is naloxone.
And so if you know somebody who is a threat of overdosing. Apparently, when people overdose, they can't breathe, and so this naloxone will help them with their breathing. And so that's a positive thing. That
that is, and the hope is that when a first responder administers this naloxone, that that can be used as a vehicle to talk to the patient or the user about treatment, ways they can get treatment to kick the habit. In some cases, they're not interested in that. It takes more than one dose administered in situations to kind of jar them. But, you know, because we all know that addiction is, you cannot kick something unless you want to.
And you mentioned this also, the General Assembly in the last session formally legalized a needle exchange program but did not provide funding, and you're hopeful that perhaps in this session they will provide funding.
Yes. Yes, I am.
So, I have to tip my hat to you, because I really think, and I'm not trying to, you know, butter you up or anything, but this is really serious, and I'm glad that there's people in the General Assembly like yourself who are taking this very seriously. I think that's a good thing, and I'm hopeful that you'll be able to have success in finding ways to help curb this epidemic of heroin in our state.
Well, thank you. I hope that I can make an impact.
Now, what are some of the other things you've mentioned? The infrastructure, the ports, the roads, and that sort of thing. We've talked about heroin. What are some other issues that are at the top of your mind as you prepare to launch into the session tomorrow?
Well, I have a big interest in helping to bring business to our part of the state. And the reasons that businesses want to come to North Carolina, we've improved our tax structure quite a bit over recent years. But I think that there's always work that can be done on that, on improving our tax code in the state. I also think that we need to undergo regulatory reform, because that is another thing that will streamline regulations, will always help business want to, if they have to decide between two places to move to, that, you know, they're going to take that into account as well as the cost of doing business, not just the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So regulatory reform, business development is important to me. Education, and that's another thing that people look at, businesses look at when they want to move to an area, is how good the educational system is, whether or not their children in schools are going to get a good education, and whether or not our hot schools of higher education, community colleges and universities, are going to provide the workers that they need to run their business. So those are very important to me as well.
Representative Grange, you may not be on the front lines of this, this being your first term, but I'm sure you have thoughts as far as taking the temperature, as it were. The governor and the General Assembly leadership, even in December before he was sworn in, there was some tension there, and he has demonstrated a willingness to not be nice, is what I say. From where you sit, do you think that there will be a harmonious relationship? In other words, do you think that when the smoke clears, that the General Assembly and the governor will be able to get along?
Well, I will say that we have the same goal, in that we want North Carolina to be a great place to live and a great place to work and a great place to learn. So we have that common goal, the General Assembly and the governor. How we go about doing that, that's where the sparks fly. Many people listening to your show right now don't realize that North Carolina does not have co-equal branches of government. The way our state government is set up is that the predominant body is the legislature, because that is what actually represents the people. So we take our role very, very seriously, and So there will be sparks flying, but I think in the big picture, we all have the same goal, and it's to make North Carolina a great place.
Well, that certainly is, yeah, absolutely. I think we all feel that way. And we have every confidence, Representative Grange, that you are going to be an effective member of the North Carolina House. And congratulations on your leadership position. Congratulations on your first term. We look forward to talking to you again. And thank you so much for being our guest on What Matters in North Carolina.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a great day.
You have a great day, too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I said Representative Grange, that sounds like a full plate. And I wasn't kidding. Man, she's going to have a lot to do. I think her goals are admirable. I think that she will get a lot done. Folks, let me tell you the way this works typically, okay? If you are a freshman senator or representative, it is very unusual to get a bill passed. In other words, something that you file as a primary sponsor and navigate through the various committees and finally passes in both the House and the Senate and gets signed by the governor. Very unusual. I'm not saying it never happens, but you sort of have to grow into these things. And they'll tell you, leadership will tell you, you know, you got to work your way up, so to speak. But I believe very strongly that Representative Grange, at the end of the day, 2 years from now, we'll be able to look back and look at bills that were passed into law, and we'll find, I bet, more than one that was sponsored by Representative Holly Grange. I think she's just that charismatic. I think she's just that confident. I think she has the leadership capability to be able to get people around her to support some of the things that she wants to do. I'm very excited about her passion for helping stem the tide of the heroin epidemic in North Carolina. We're going to do a show again soon, kind of an update to follow up on our conversation with the state health director, Randall Williams, and several county sheriffs that we've talked to and others, and find out where we stand now. Has any progress been made in the war on heroin addiction? And I call it a war because really it's epidemic. And it's, again, it's not like, you know, if you're an older guy like I am, you remember the cop shows and people, you know, in flop houses just laying around with needles in their arms and they're just high as kites. What's happening now is that people are getting addicted to pain medicine and they're going out and trying to find heroin. And oftentimes they don't stick a needle in their arm, they snort it, but it's just as addictive. And all of a sudden they find themselves in a horrible situation, often overdosing and possibly dying. So it is real. It is a real problem. And I'm excited that Representative Grange is going to be on the front line, so to speak, in helping to try to find ways to deal with this very real problem here in North Carolina. As always, we appreciate you listening to What Matters in North Carolina. We don't take you for granted. We appreciate that you listen and that you have been talking to others about the show. And I always encourage you to send a text or an email with a link to freedomactionnetwork.com and tell your friends or your family, hey, here's a pretty cool show. I tell you, folks, I say this all the time, and I don't say it pridefully. I really believe you would be hard-pressed to find any show of this kind that has any better content than you will find on What Matters in North Carolina. We have at least four more members of the General Assembly to talk to this week. That's not happening other places, and certainly not on any other podcast. So I don't say that to, you know, oh, we're just great. What I'm saying is, if you want to stay informed and know what's going on in North Carolina politics and policy, this is the place. And help us spread the word, won't you? Let your friends and your family know. They can find us in the iTunes and Google Play stores and always at freedomactionnetwork.com. We sure will appreciate that. We have some other great guests lined up for you today. And be on the lookout for a conversation that we're going to have with Demi Dowdy of the Civitas Institute. She's fired up, and that's putting it mildly, about the women's protests and marches over the weekend. And that's going to be a podcast that you will not want to miss. It will be up on the web a little after 3 o'clock this afternoon. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Thank you for listening to What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver. Have a great rest of your day.